live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the body of a fisherman has been recovered from Killybegs Harbour. The families of Bloody Sunday victims say while today's announcement is deeply disappointing, justice for one is justice for all. Letterkenny University Hospital has apologised unreservedly to the family of a Donegal man who it's claimed died as a result of not receiving a timely operation on a bowel obstruction. And Tusla has today opened a new residential centre for children in Letterkenny. Those stories do follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first news, the body of a fisherman has been recovered from Killybegs Harbour. The Coast Guard were alerted to a missing person in the harbour at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Following a rescue operation involving the Coast Guard, the body was recovered from the water shortly after 3 o'clock. One former British soldier is to be charged with murdering two civilians on Bloody Sunday. No action is to be taken against 16 other ex-troops and two alleged members of the IRA over the killings in Derry. Stephen Murphy reports.
On January the 30th, 1972, the British Army opened fire on a civil rights march in Derry. 13 people were killed that day and a 14th person died a number of months later. In 2010, Britain's Prime Minister at the time, David Cameron, issued an apology to the victims' families.
What happened on Bloody Sunday was both unjustified and unjustifiable. It was wrong.
Northern Ireland's Public Prosecution Service has been considering if there was enough evidence to bring charges against 18 former soldiers, one of whom has since died. It's announced one ex-paratrooper will face prosecution for the murders of James Ray and William McKinney and the attempted murder of four others. Director of Northern Ireland's PPS is Stephen Heron.
Much of the material which was available for consideration by the inquiry is not admissible in criminal proceedings due to the strict rules of evidence that apply.
The families of the Bloody Sunday victims have been reacting.
This announcement is further vindication of our decades-long campaign to clear the names of our loved ones and to bring those responsible for their deaths and injuries to justice.
That campaign, the Bloody Sunday families, are not finished yet.
UK Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson says the British government will fund all the legal costs of the soldier being charged and provide welfare support. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says his thoughts are with the families of the innocent victims.
Fianna Fáil say an extension to Brexit would be better than an Armageddon crash-out. It comes as British MPs will vote this evening on whether or not to delay the March the 29th exit date. They may also have a last chance to vote on the withdrawal agreement again next week. Fianna Fáil's Brexit spokesperson Lisa Chambers says an extension to Article 50 needs to be considered, but it would be tricky.
There's problems with the short extension and there's problems with the long extension. The ideal situation is that we get the deal sorted. A short extension means, you know, I mean, the question is what can realistically be achieved with a short extension until June? Can they get the deal over the line? There's question marks over that. A longer extension from other member states' perspectives is that it gives the UK time to sort its house out, to actually decide what it wants to do, rather than having a rolling cliff edge every couple of months. But then it throws up questions around the European Parliament elections.
Letterkenny University Hospital has apologised unreservedly to the family of a Donegal man who it's claimed died as a result of not receiving a timely operation on a bowel obstruction. 26-year-old John Paul McCluskey died on November the 22nd, 2016 due to a brain injury and multi-organ failure after his bowel was perforated, causing septic shock. His family today settled a high court action over his death and the care he received at Letterkenny University Hospital. Liability in the case was admitted. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In a letter read in court, the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, Sean Murphy, expressed sincere regret over the devastating loss of John Paul. He apologised unreservedly and said there is a huge regret within the team at the hospital that John Paul did not receive better and more organised care during his time there. According to the Irish Times, the 26-year-old was admitted to the hospital's emergency department on October 11, 2016 with abdominal pain. Counsel for the McCluskey family said a CT scan 5 days later confirmed an obstruction in the small bowel linked to Crohn's disease, and experts on their side would say there should have been an operation by October 19th, which would have saved his life. John Paul suffered a perforation of the bowel and died in another hospital on November 22nd, 2016. An inquest into his death last year concluded that Mr. McCloskey died as a result of brain injuries after the perforation of his small bowel following a systems failure at Letterkenny University Hospital, which led to medical misadventure.
The Health Minister has been urged to intervene amid concerns there is a serious issue with HSE-owned accommodation in Dunloe. The council say they are continuing to support the work of approved housing bodies in the delivery of housing under the Capital Assistance Scheme, which includes repurposing existing units to current standards. However, Councillor Mary Trez-Gallagher told this week's Glenties Municipal District meeting that money urgently needs to be ring-fenced by the department to enable the works be carried out at Respond and Clude units in Dunloe, which she claims have been lying idle for a number of years. Councillor Gallagher says there is a serious need for these units to be utilised.
We need to get those units taken up, you know, made into two-bedroom units. About 18 months ago, we made the proposal here that they have been left sitting idle from the day that they were built. Some of the units were used by the HSE, but one unit in particular nobody has ever set foot inside. So we need to get that money. We need to get it fast-tracked. We need to get those units up and running for people to have homes, and it's very easily done if the department come up with the funding. So that's why we have requested the meeting with the Minister. We have a serious issue with HSE-owned accommodation, and there's no point in us saying we don't. As I said to you, you know, we have units that have never been used. We have 11 units that nobody has been in for probably 5 or 6 years, and we have people coming to us looking for homes. So it's an ongoing issue and we have to get it sorted.
And it would relieve so much pressure if these units were in use then?
It's public money that has been put in to develop these units. To start these units would probably cost you 10 times more than redeveloping what is there. So it makes value for money, all of those things, ticks all those boxes. We have the need, we just need to get it. We need to get the money and we need to get the units opened, especially like Dunloe has a huge amount of people on the waiting list at the minute, the highest in the west of the county, and we need to get it sorted.
Tusla has opened a new residential respite centre in Letterkenny for children aged from 6 to 17. The Ceres Centre provides a respite and support service for children and young people who are living at home or in foster care and require additional supports to maintain their placement in a family environment. 3 years ago, Tusla closed a residential centre at the site, prompting a major debate both locally and nationally. Donal McCormick is Tusla's National Director of Residential Childcare Services. He says the reconfigured centre is designed to meet the needs of children in the northwest region.
We have adjusted slightly the centre to become a respite centre, which will be coming in at a far earlier point, essentially trying to stop the breakdown of a current foster placement, or indeed hopefully stop a child having to come into care fully from their current home.
Are you satisfied that you have sufficient staff both within the centre itself and also in the community to provide the sort of backup services that will be needed if long-term residential care is to be avoided?
Yes, we do indeed. What we find, this is the fourth respite centre now we have in the country, and what we find generally speaking is the staff wants to know the nature of the work in the centre. That's the preferred option, to work in the centre. So thankfully we have an adequate staffing currently to work in it, both in the centre and then to work with our colleagues in the community within social work.
There has been a lot of discussion about this politically. There has been parliamentary questions. Those discussions would have informed the way the centre has been reconfigured, I presume.
There was, I suppose, rightfully a grave concern in the area that there was going to be a loss of a residential facility. We spent time liaising with the local communities and looking at the need and the requirements within Donegal and the surrounding counties to see, well, how would this facility best be used. We've agreed jointly with our colleagues in the community that a respite option was the best use of this facility.
The Taoiseach says the relationship between Ireland and the United States is very strong and is going from strength to strength. Leo Varadkar was speaking after holding a bilateral meeting with President Donald Trump at the White House. The two leaders spoke about the economic, cultural and political ties between the two countries. Leo Varadkar says he also set out Ireland's position on Brexit, and he encouraged Mr. Trump to do a trade deal with the EU.
what I've been saying to him is that the opportunity exists there for an EU-US trade deal. Just like we've a trade deal with Japan, just like we've a trade deal with Canada, we can have one with the US as well. It'll be many years before the United Kingdom is able to make any trade deals, so surely it makes sense to make one with the EU first. Okay. There's 500 million of us, only 60 million in Britain.
There are urgent calls on Donegal County Council to improve on its social housing stock. It follows claims that some dwellings are experiencing severe issues with damp as a result of mica block defects. Coupled with this, residents who are attempting to buy their house outright are said to be finding it near impossible to do so. Councillor John O'Donnell says the local authority must do everything in its power to get the government to move faster in initiating a redress scheme. In the interim, he says people are at the end of their tether.
And this has led to the new tenants purchase scheme that was rolled out a number of years ago. People have went to acquire their houses, got the onto their financial institutions and got the mortgages in place, and then got a letter back from the council to say that they can't proceed with it due to the substandard of workmanship and the mica that is in the houses.
Now, you have said that the council itself isn't at fault, but more so higher levels than that.
Yeah, it's a national fund, and I suppose at the end of the day, the council can't do anything until this mica is, I suppose, the rollout of mica is brought into place, so they can't be able to do anything. But what I would say is, for ourselves as a local authority, we need to be pushing the government and fast-tracking it, because people are paying rent in houses as well, and they're looking to buy these houses out. So it's more dead money, number one. And as well as that, people that are renting houses from local authority, like, the houses aren't up to standard. There's a lot of dampness. There's small children in these houses, and they're picking up all type of illnesses, like especially people maybe that are suffering from asthma as well.
The housing minister, in his latest response, he has said that the redress scheme in writing, as it were, is almost complete. That surely is positive.
Yeah, look, it's positive, but look, I think it's gone on long enough. We've been talking a long, long time about it. Donegal County Council here is a local body. We're sitting in limbo and we're waiting. We can't do anything. We can't touch the houses because we're waiting on this redress. And again, the only people suffering is the tenants that's in these houses. Number one, the people that want to buy them out are suffering because they're paying dead money in rent. And number two, the people that's paying rent, they're paying rent for a substandard house, as far as I'm concerned. If it was anybody in the private landlord rental market, they would not be get away with what's happening at the moment.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with some rugby news. Tadhg Birnie has been handed a first Six Nations start for Saturday's meeting with Wales in Cardiff. He replaces the injured Ian Henderson. There's another change to the pack, with Sean O'Brien returning at open side for Josh Van de Vleer, and having been named in last week's starting lineup, but ultimately withdrawn from the side that beat France, Rob Kearney has again been named at fullback. Kieran Merriman's likely to make a first appearance in the championship, having been named among the replacements. Wales there unchanged for the game at the Principality Stadium as they chase the Grand Slam. And 17-year-old Bevan Parsons has been handed a first start on the wing for Ireland's women's meeting with their Welsh counterparts on Sunday. Parsons replaces the injured Alison Miller. Laura Feely, she's among the replacements. Elsewhere, the Aviva Stadium could end up hosting both semi-finals in this year's Heineken Champions Cup. Should Munster see off Edinburgh and wind up facing Glasgow, then Lansdowne Road will stage the resultant semi-final. However, a Saracens win over Glasgow means Munster would be heading to Coventry's Ricoh Arena. Leinster and Ulster need to lose to beat Racing on the other side of the draw to guarantee a semi at the Aviva. Moving on to Gaelic games, and Donegal are in Cork on Saturday with a double header at Parca Rinn. The ladies are unbeaten with wins over Dublin, Mayo, Monaghan and Tipperary, and have all but secured a place in the semi-finals. Donegal manager Maxi Corn has 22 fit players available for the trip. Geraldine McLaughlin, she'll miss the rest of the league with a broken hand. Ciara Grant is a doubt, with a hand injury. Nicole Gordon has concussion, while Julie Traherty is out with a hamstring problem. Tara and Ciara Hegarty won't make the trip to Cork due to a family wedding. Maxi says it's a good opportunity for his younger players to test themselves against quality opposition.
When the fixture list came out, we were given away games against Dublin, Cork and Galway, and that's, for me, is the top three teams in the country. So it was definitely tough from that perspective. But look, we figured with getting the three tough away games, we were going to have games at home that were winnable, and thankfully that's how it turned out. But look, it's probably disappointing that we're short so many first teamers or regulars or girls that have played over the last four games, because Cork's such a top outfit. You know, it would have been a real chance for us to see where we're at and test ourselves against one of the best teams in the country. But look, it's still going to be a good opportunity for us to do that, and you know, we still have a strong team going down, and we'll come up the road a lot wiser than we went down anyway.
12 o'clock is the throw-in time for the ladies. 2 o'clock is the throw-in time for the men on Saturday. Moving on to soccer, and Mick McCarthy has named a paired down 23-man squad for the Euro 2020 qualifiers with Gibraltar and Georgia. Bournemouth goalkeeper Mark Travers and Luton striker James Collins are the only uncapped players retained from McCarthy's original provisional 38-man panel. Stephen Ward, Cyrus Christie and James McCarthy, they're among the experienced players to miss out, but Glenn Whelan is included, as is Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy, James McLean and Ronan Curtis, who this week, of course, got injured in his hand, but he's included in that squad. On the pitch tonight, Arsenal lay trail Rennes 3-1 heading into the second leg of the Europa League last 16 encounter at the Emirates Stadium tonight. 8 o'clock is the start time for that one. While kicking off shortly, Chelsea, they head to Dynamo Kiev. They're 3-0 ahead on the resumption of their tie in the Ukraine. Manager Mauricio Sarri has described the Kiev pitch as a disaster. Locally in the Ulster Senior League this evening, there's one game down for decision. Bonagie United, they're due to play Swally Rovers. 7:45 is the kick-off time for that one. Also at 7:45 this evening in Gwydor, and Scriven in Gwydor, in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division, Kilmacrenan Celtic, they play KG Rovers. A one for Kilmacrenan will put them 4 points clear of Castle Finn. Castle Finn will have two games in hand. And the Muncrana Credit Union Cup tonight, there's one game in Kildare. It's Greencastle FC up against Dunree United. Well, Jim McGuinness, he'll lead Charlotte Independence for the first time in a competitive fixture tomorrow evening. His team kick off the USL Championship regular season, the second tier of soccer in the States, with a home tie against Indy 11 at the Matthews Sportsplex. The job is Jim's first professional head coach role since he stepped away from GAA management 4 years ago. Speaking on the Sport Charlotte podcast, the Donegal man says they want to develop a positive mentality with Independence.
And so it is step by step, and it's block by block, but the best test, the acid test, is the games themselves. And that's why, we will get into this weekend and we will know a lot more about ourselves on the back end of that, and know a lot more about our own system and what we want to do and how we want to execute it. What we're looking for is the perfect mentality to try to implement the principles that we've sort of been able to develop. It's about our shape, it's about our energy levels, it's about, you know, how we want to press, how we want to sort of be positive, take the game to the opposition, play on the front foot.
It's Jim McGuinness there. Well, in horse racing, it was day three at the Cheltenham Festival. Bryony Frost became the first ever female jockey to win a Grade 1 event at that. And with news of a good day for favourites, here's Dennis Kerwin.
Bryony Frost became the first woman to ride a Grade 1 winner over fences at a Cheltenham Festival when Frodon, trained by Paul Nichols, landed the Ryanair Chase by just over a length from Aso, with the Noel Mead trained Road to Respect finishing third. It was a great day overall for the ladies as Lizzie Kelly won the 2.5 mile handicap chase aboard Cyril Dulac. In the day's feature race, the Stayers Hurdle, victory went to 11-8 favourite Paisley Park, trained by Emma Lavelle and ridden by Aidan Coleman. It was an emotional victory, as Paisley Park's owner Andrew Gemmell has been blind since birth. And Barry Geraghty rode a double in the first two races, winning the JLT Novices Chase on 3-1 favourite Deffy Dusoy, while in the Pertemps final, 4-1 market leader Sard de Burleigh won by a neck to give Gordon Elliott his third winner at the festival. With the Irish Daily Star offering an exclusive Cheltenham Festival insight from jockeys Davy Russell and Jack Kennedy, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Day four tomorrow, of course, with the Gold Cup. Well, and finally for this evening, in golf on the European Tour, the Kenya Open's taking place this week. And Michael Hoy had a good day, shot a 66 today to sit in 5 under par. He's 2 shots off the lead, held by Jack Singbar and Lewis De Jager. They're both on 7 under. Cormac Shavin's 2 under and Gavin Moynihan is 1 over. And at the Players' Championship in Florida on the PGA Tour this week, the first round's underway at that event. And Rory McIlroy's off to a really good start. start. He's through 14 holes. He's 5 under par for today's round. That leaves him one shot off the lead, which is held by Ben Ann. He's in the clubhouse after shooting a 66. Tommy Fleetwood is one to go. He's also 6 under par. Seamus Power, he's 2 over through 13. And Shane Lowry is among the evening starters. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, a breezy and mostly cloudy end to the day with outbreaks of rain. It will be windy and mostly cloudy tonight, also with outbreaks of rain, clearing to isolated showers by morning. Lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the body of a fisherman has been recovered from Killybegs Harbour. The Coast Guard were alerted to a missing person in the harbour at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. One former British soldier is to be charged with murdering 2 civilians on Bloody Sunday. No action is to be taken against 16 other ex-troops and 2 alleged members of the IRA over the killings in Derry. And Tusla has opened a new residential respite centre in Letterkenny for children aged from 6 to 17. The Sarah Centre provides a respite and support service for children and young people who are living at home or in foster care and require additional support to maintain their placement in a family environment. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 14th of March. The death has taken place in Manchester, England, of Bridget Quirk, née Gillespie, formerly of Leofin, Linsford, Buncrana. Funeral Mass will take place in St Bernadette's Church, Whitefield, Manchester, on Tuesday next, March 19th at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Bury Cemetery. The death has taken place of Zita McCloskey, née McGuinness, Main Street, Glenties. Her remains are reposing at her home on Main Street, Glenties. Removal from there on Saturday morning to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Eileen Houston, 36 Dublin Street, Newton Stewart. Eileen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eugene's Church, Glenock, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Betty Corry, née Doherty, late of Kilclean Road, Castle Derg. Betty's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Jack Patton, 26 Ardmacool, Stranorder. His remains will repose at McCool's Chapel of Rest, Ballybuffet, this evening from 7 o'clock until Rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow evening at 7:15, arriving at the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock with interment afterwards in Stranorder Cemetery. The death has taken place of Eileen Call, Main Street, Carrigart, and Cochin, Derrybeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Cochin, Derrybeg. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg, on Saturday morning at 10:30, with burial afterwards in Maharagadan Cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from after the rosary until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Epilepsy Ireland, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Eileen Shields, Umla, Carrigart. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to the Church of St John the Baptist for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The deaths have taken place of Pat and his wife Margaret Doherty, 3 Riverview Terrace, Milltown Convoy, formerly of Glenmaquin and Tuam. Pat and Margaret's remains will arrive at St Mary's Church Convoy at 7 o'clock this evening, reposing overnight. Rosary at 8 p.m. with all welcome. Funeral mass there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to St Vincent de Paul Convoy Conference, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Mark Gallagher, 87, Blue Cedars, Ballybuffet. His remains will repose at his home from 7 o'clock this evening until Rosary at 10 o'clock and again from 11 tomorrow morning, again until Rosary at 10 o'clock. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass at the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at his home of John Cassidy, 19 Shanrea Park, Derry, formerly of Long Tower Street and Leenan Gardens. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 9, going to St Columbus Church, Long Tower, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has occurred of Pascaline Blake, née Keeney, Stony Arch, New Line Road, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Flowers welcome, or if desired, donations to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital and the Donegal Hospice. And the death has occurred of Una Coyle, née Griffin, Drumnahoe, Letterkenny. Una's remains will repose at her home until 10 o'clock tonight, with Rosary tonight at 9. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Oncology Day Unit, care of any family member.